Here in the Northwest Territories, we live surrounded by ice. And since it's below freezing for more than half the year, the lakes and rivers turn to ice, and people use them as roads. Temporary roads, but still roads. We call them ice roads, and they're the world's best shortcuts, and they're only open in the winter. And some people in the capital city of Yellowknife actually live on the ice. There's about 40 floating homes, also called houseboats, located on Great Slave Lake. Houseboat residents can canoe or motorboat to their house in the summer, and then they can walk or drive on the lake in the winter. It sounds like a fun way to live, right? It is. But in the spring, when our roads start to melt, people on the ice face a bit of a problem. Here's three stories about living life on the ice. This is my friend Marty.
My name's Marty Oneboot. We're presently standing on the Great Slave Lake. As you can hear, we're not floating. We are standing on solid ground. So solid that you can drive on it, you can walk on it, you can jump up and down. You're not falling through. It's perfect. There are many meters. What is it, like 4 feet, 5 feet, maybe 6 feet some places? When winter turns into spring, when ice starts to thaw, that's when it's hairy. One of the techniques you can use to get across, 1 foot in one canoe, your other foot on the ice, and you're just skating it across. One swing at a time, one push at a time. Because if you ever hear the ice crack, you can quickly jump into the canoe. And that's what you call a skiffle.
It's April. I ask Marty how he's planning on getting to work.
So I got my canoe. I got my life jacket. Got to make sure you always have that. Safety. And then I brought a couple of ski poles with me. And I also brought my axe. We're just jamming into the ice and pulling yourself with it.
I leave Marty attempting to cross the lake, and I go visit a family I know that live on an island on Great Slave Lake. Now, they face the same problem as Marty in the spring, but they're actually attempting to drive their truck for as long as they can.
Hi, my name's Mike Mitchell. I live in Yellowknife. I live on an island, actually, in Yellowknife Bay, which isn't too far from the mainland. We can see the city right from where we live, but because we're on an island, getting back and forth to the mainland gets tricky at certain times of year. So it's springtime, sun's coming out, warming up the ice and the snow, and we're getting a lot of melt. So these are the last days of driving our car from the island over to the mainland. So we're heading across to get some supplies before the ice starts to melt too much.
How do you tell if the ice is okay to drive on?
Well, in the fall of the year when the ice is thin, I usually just send my kids out first. And if they fall through, then that's a good sign that the ice isn't quite safe yet. People out on the bay here and that live on the island tend to have lots of kids because they do lose a few every year. We usually just prepare for the trip in case that the ice isn't sufficiently strong to hold the truck up. So, for instance, we overinflate our tires. If we do fall through, if the tires are full enough of air, then it'll float like a boat on the water. You have to be careful not to overinflate them, though, because if they burst, then, of course, you have no buoyancy and you're going to sink straight to the bottom. That's happened a couple times. Some people wear life jackets or bathing suits. I, as you can see, prefer to wear nothing at all, so that when I get to the other side and I do fall through, then at least I got a dry set of clothes. Okay, guys, it's time to go. Sadie, can you go get your bathing suit on, please? Jolliffe, go get your bathing suit. Okay, we'll take all your clothes off then. Okay, guys, let's get in the truck. All right, guys, got your seatbelts on?
No.
Good, don't do them up. You don't want your seatbelt on in case we fall through, right? Keep your window down, please, Jana. All right, so we're heading across to go get some lumber. We're going to build a sauna this summer, and if we don't get the wood across now, it's kind of hard to do it in a boat, so we're going to go across, get some lumber, get some gas, and the morning's a good time to travel because it's still cold from the nighttime, and it's not too wet and mushy, but there is an enormous hole here at the approach where you come off the mainland onto the ice, or in our case, off the ice to go onto the mainland, and that's the sketchiest part. Oh, I see this big white truck up here that's having a struggle. All right, so I'm gonna try a different spot because that spot obviously has got a big hole that swallows up trucks. Okay, ready to go?
Yeah.
All right. Cross your fingers.
We approach a large patch of open water and then steer just left of it. And we're stuck. Mike puts his truck in four-wheel drive for extra traction, and then he hits the gas hard until we get through the slush.
All right, we're not gonna have to spend the night.
Yay!
There we are. Whew, high fives. We live to see another day.
When you live on the ice, or when you're driving on an ice road, you depend on your neighbors for all kinds of help. My friend Michelle, who lives in a houseboat, told me a story about the time she needed to borrow a truck.
Some friends had kindly lent me their truck so that I could fill my propane tanks to heat my house for the winter.
The friends with the truck, Christine and Rich, live on the ice in a nearby houseboat.
I started the truck, went out, and was clearing off the snow from the windshield. And when I went to get back in the truck, I realized when you start the car, the doors lock automatically. So I locked the keys in the truck. It took me a while to finally figure out how to get in the window to be able to crawl through. So keys were okay. Back on track, got to fill my propane tanks. And I started to back up. I heard a big crack. And I thought maybe I'd driven over a water box.
A water box is a small hole for filling up water jugs in the winter.
But as I looked, there was clearly open water behind the back wheels of the truck.
This is where the owner of the truck, Rich, comes in.
So I was at work and I got a call from Christine saying your truck is sunk. Or sinking, I guess. It was actually sinking at the time. So I jumped on my bike and raced down the hill, and like in 5 minutes I was there, just in time to see the front of the truck drop through the ice and sink. So it sank all the way to the water was on top of the roof. So it turns out it was sunk far enough to ruin the truck, but not sunk so far that it wasn't salvageable. We hooked up chains, and then we just started slowly winching the truck towards shore. It took a really long time. It took like 12 hours. We did repurpose the truck, and with the help of a friend, we cut the truck in half and made it into a trailer.
And what was the lesson here?
Before you drive on the ice, you take a drill, and you check the ice thickness everywhere you're going to be driving.
I don't let Michelle the truck anymore.
When you live in the Northwest Territories, you're close to nature. There's nothing quite like walking and driving on the same body of water you're paddling on in the summer. And if you do happen to fall in, there's always someone around to pull you out. For Road Trip Radio, I'm Jana Graham in Yellowknife, Northwest Territories.